now I want to get started with our first guest. Justice Linda Davenport is here with us today, and she is running for the Justice of the 3rd District Appellate Court. Justice Davenport, welcome.
Greetings, my friend.
It's so good to see you.
It has been a while.
So you've been a lawyer for 45 years, you've been a judge for 17 years, and you were appointed to this appellate court about a year and a half ago. So you've actually had this job for a while.
I have. When Justice Mary Kay O'Brien won in November of 22 to the Illinois Supreme Court, she was an appellate justice on the 3rd District Appellate Court. And so I filled her seat. I got that appointment by unanimous appointment from the Supreme Court. And any judge or justice that's appointed has to then run in the next general election to win that seat. And that's where I'm doing now.
And you're all over the place. So I want to talk a little bit about why it's important to vote for judges, which is a mantra that I've touted for all the years I've been on radio. But what are the communities that vote for the 3rd District?
So Illinois has 54 appellate justices. So there's about 1,000 judges in Illinois. Only 54 of us are appellate justices. And we're in three. The 3rd District is 7 counties: DuPage, Will, Kankakee, Iroquois, Grundy, LaSalle, and Bureau. It's about 2 million people.
Okay, so you've got to go all over the place and talk to people from all different counties. And you sat on the bench for many years out in DuPage, and I had the pleasure of appearing before you on many family law matters. And I do want to get around to talking about, I know a lot of my listeners have had domestic relations issues in court, and we're going to give you maybe some advice on how to prepare your case, because not only were you a judge, but you were a practitioner for so many years.
27 years as a divorce lawyer before I became a divorce judge.
Yes. So you were very, very well qualified. But let's just talk generally about the importance of voting for judges and justices. Justices are the ones on the appellate bench. Why should we care? And why should we make sure we are voting for the right people?
So as I said, there's about 1,000 judges in Illinois. So how do you decide what you want to do? The first level in this triangle pyramid kind of scheme is 938 trial judges. They're the ones that hear everything. Traffic case, divorce case, murder, whatever, tax appeal, you got it. They have to be the best. It can't be somebody who you know, somebody who's friends with somebody. They have to be the best people because they're the ones starting out with your case. And if it's your divorce, if it's your child that has an issue, a juvenile, you better make sure the person wearing the black robe on the other side knows what they're doing because it impacts your life. It's extraordinarily important. So you want to make sure that the best people are there. If you disagree and you lose in the trial court in Illinois, you have an absolute right to appeal up to the next level, which is me. That's the appellate court, that 54 justices we talked about. If you lose there, you got to get permission to go higher to the Supreme Court. There's only 7 justices on the Illinois Supreme Court. So that's the court system. So you really want to make sure that the best people are in there, not somebody's buddy.
And, you know, what are the things that makes a judge a bad judge? I mean, I'll name a few. I go to judges all the time where you've spent a lot of time as a practitioner. You've written out all your arguments. You've researched them. You've had your client go over them. You make sure it's the best possible product, and the judge hasn't read it.
On my bench, when I was in the trial court, I had 2 signs that only I could see that no one else could. One of them was listen, and the other one was shut up. I think those are 2 critical things. Number one, I better have read that because otherwise there's no purpose. I devalue you. I give you no incentive to come back in front of me if you think I really don't care. So I have to learn to really listen to the people that are talking to me. Even when I disagree with them, I have to listen to them. That's just courtesy, the way we were all taught. And then the shut up part was make sure that what you're saying has benefit, is moving the case forward somehow. And judges have to decide, how many times did you have cases where it just got bumped and continued and bumped and continued because nobody wanted to make a decision?
Right.
I had a good friend who told me, you know, if you bat 500, you're going to get in the hall. So just make a decision.
Well, and sometimes not making a decision is a decision.
That's true.
You know, when you've got custody matters, you've got, you know, kids who are living with, you know, bouncing around, and you've got this status quo that's horrible. Well, if you don't make a decision in 2 years, that's 2 years of that child's life that's in flux.
Correct.
You know,
and the Supreme Court said they want us to make these decisions regarding children within 18 months of being at issue. That's critical. That's a year and a half of a little kid's life. And so those were the ones that kept me up nights.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, you're right. Judges are, you, this is why you want to wear the robe. You want to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to make the decisions because you are, you know, basically saying you're going to live with this parent or this parent. You're going to have the child go to this school or be raised in this religion. And unfortunately, when people don't agree and they come to court, you're the one that's going to make that decision.
I always felt like custody cases were really three kinds. One parent was really bad. Okay, they're probably not going to end up having primary residence. The other parent, in the other case, one parent is really good. They're going to end up with it. The hard ones were where both parents are really good people. And then it's my job to make sure that that section of the statute that says which parent is going to do more to make sure that the other parent has a close and loving relationship with the child, that factor always was the most important to me. Because if you're going into this thinking, I just want him or her to drop out of my life and I'll be fine, no, you won't be. Your child won't be unless they have both parents involved actively in their lives.
And, you know, I sort of blame the process for this, and I also will blame the litigants. But the process encourages parents to say, you know, he's not good at doing homework. Yeah, he's good at out in the baseball field, but he doesn't sit down and make the child eat vegetables. And so this, like, I'd say legal bad-mouthing that goes on kind of lends itself to the idea that you're disparaging the other parent to get what you think is right for your children at the very best.
I think so. I think that, but as a society, we tend to make ourselves better at the expense of others. So it
right.
follows that it will clearly come into the divorce realm as well. You think you are building yourself up. And so I used to ask people, what do you think is a reasonable time that your children should spend with the other parent? And then they would tell me what they thought it would be. Quite often it would be minimal time. And I'd say, what if I decided to give you that time, that minimum time? Is it not fair then? Because you thought it was fair for him. Why is it not fair for you?
Yeah. And then it gets real quiet. Let's take a break. We're talking to Justice Linda Davenport. She's running for the appellate court March 19th. She's unopposed for the Democratic Party. And then she's going to run in the election in November. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the importance of judging and a little bit about your background and some of your beliefs, because I think it's important to know where a judge stands on certain issues from a personal standpoint. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. We're here with Justice Linda Davenport, a judge who I used to practice in front of all the time in DuPage. You know, I was just thinking a little bit about, you were talking about being, you were a family law practitioner, you were a family law judge, now you're on the appellate court, you're running for a spot there, which you have to do March 19th. So if you if you're looking at, you know, the litigants who are coming to court and you want to say, you know, you're going to go through a divorce, you're getting ready to go back to court because you have some things that need to be changed, you have family or friends who are going to do that, how would you say that they should prepare? What are the things they should do to get ready for the divorce process?
Back when I was in private practice, and I was in private practice pretty much before you were born, I think, Karen. So it was from 78 until about 2006 when I went on the bench. I had a general rule where I didn't let people hire me the first time they came in to interview me. I told them the things I wanted them to do before they actually filed. So this is something I actually believe in, is preparing to file for divorce. It should, one thing, not be an immediate decision. It's got to be something that you've put some thought into. But the practical steps would be, take your tax returns for the last 5 years. Find one of your girlfriends or friends who is an accountant and go sit and hire them for an hour if you have to go through your tax returns to look and see every source of income you have coming in. Start keeping track of first-class mail that comes into your home. Where's it coming from? Not solicitations, but is there an account somewhere that you didn't know about? Things like that. Start looking at your bills. What is it costing you to stay where you are? Is it something that you think you're going to be able to afford? Because fighting for a house that you can't afford might not be the best use of the income that you have coming in. What if something happens to your spouse and they're not paying you what they have agreed or are ordered to pay you? How are you going to be able to afford it? So think long term. Don't think in the short term. It's not going to work. Being prepared going in, and then interview lawyers. Interview at least 3 or 4 lawyers until you find someone that listens to you, understands what you want, and thinks creatively to get you what you want.
And when it comes to children, and you've been happily married for a long time.
45 years.
Are children going to be okay on the other end of it? What do you think are the predictors? I mean, I've read the psychological reports about what children survive and thrive, which ones don't do well. What is your read on it? How do kids do well in a divorce? What do parents do to make sure that happens?
Don't hate each other. Because there was a moment when that child was born and you and your spouse or a partner were in a hospital room and you looked at each other and there was so much love in that room. And I have to get you to that point where you can remember that, because this child does not deserve to have someone that is hated identified as their mom or their dad. So the damage comes, I think, after a divorce or while the divorce is pending, from parents who use that child as the sounding board for their anger or their hatred. So the kids that come out of divorce okay are the ones where the parents, where you wouldn't know they weren't divorced if there was a group of people all together. You wouldn't know that that couple had been divorced for 2 or 3 years because they're civil, they're kind. Because if that child's other parent dies, that child's coming to live with you. And you better make sure that there's wonderful memories of that parent for that child, because then they've got their whole issues growing up thinking that they didn't have a mother, they didn't have a father that was worthy of their love.
And we see so much of this, and I use the word alienation, and I don't know, that's kind of a charged word these days. But when I see parents bad-mouthing each other to the children, and, you know, just thinking about the child, the two people that child loves the most in life, mom and dad is saying bad things about mom, and mom is saying, and all of a sudden those two people are not good in your eyes anymore, and then you're mad and you're confused, and that kind of anger can last a long time.
Oh, it's tough as a judge, because at that point you're wondering who's the real child here.
Yeah.
I have two children that are paying lawyers multiple thousands of dollars to come in and use it as a sounding board to say how bad the other person is. And I want to remind them, they chose to marry them. The lawyers didn't do this. I didn't do it. This was their choice. Something about that person just made them decide they wanted to spend their life with them.
So when you are sitting now on the appellate bench, you are not hearing divorces. You're hearing everything. You're hearing criminal cases. Business disputes,
tax appeals, land issues, breach of contracts, medical malpractice. Everything. It's extraordinarily fun. And after 45 years in the law, I could not be happier doing what I'm doing now.
And when you are on the appellate court, you are reading a lot, right?
Absolutely.
And you're really not seeing litigants every day. It's not like you have a court call where you see 50 people and you deal with their issues and move them along.
No one's yelling at me. It's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And you're pretty much always right at the end of it, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think that. I know it's not true. The deal with the appellate court is we don't retry the case. Sometimes when you go into the appellate court, you're going to get a second bite of the apple. Really, what you're going to get is someone reviewing the trial court. Did the trial court get it right? Did the trial judge make mistakes? What happened there? So we do. We read the record. If there's videos, we watch those. All the appellate court justices have young lawyers that help us and that are clerks. We each have three, and they're brilliant kids. Although I say their kids are in their 30s, they are extraordinarily smart kids. So that's what an appellate court judge looks at. And then every couple of months, we allow lawyers to come and argue their cases orally. Our courthouse is beautiful. It's built in 1861 down in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I suggest anybody come down there. It's beautiful.
It's fun to watch those arguments in person, too. I mean, now you can watch the U.S. Supreme Court arguments as well. But, you know, I think you make a good point here. I think a lot of people say, I just got a bad ruling. I'm going to go to the appellate court and they're going to change the ruling. But it really has to be a significant issue. It can't just be a matter of judgment.
Correct.
You know, it has to be something that is the judge got the wrong law. The judge interpreted the law in the wrong way or something more significant. And this is such an important job because you're kind of rewriting the law, but you're analyzing the law for future cases.
Correct. Lawyers look to the opinions that are issued by the appellate courts to determine where they're going. Does it have a basis to go forward? Can they go to their client and say, this is the way this district is trending? And when there's a dispute between districts, then the Supreme Court in Illinois steps in and has to say, no, this is the way we want the law to go.
And before we say goodbye, I want to just make sure everybody knows Justice Linda Davenport is running for the 3rd District Appellate Court, and they can vote for you on March 19th.
Correct. I have a primary, no opponent, but I'm running with two justices also that were appointed, Joe Heddle and Lance Peterson also.
All good people. And then the election is in November, and that's when you run against the Republican.
Correct.
And just briefly, how are your personal opinions and personal feelings about some of the hot topic issues important? And can you just tell us a few things that you represent and that you want the listeners to know about Linda Davenport?
Sure. As judges, sometimes you're going to hear people say that judges cannot or are not supposed to comment. We are allowed under the canons of ethics to talk about our personal beliefs. So don't let someone hide behind that saying, oh, I can't talk about that. They can. I believe abortion should be safe and rare. But I believe that I, as an intelligent woman, have the right to make a decision regarding my own body. I believe that that's important. I also believe the law has to apply to everyone. It isn't a question of where you decide, oh, this person deserves this because of that. No, the law applies to everyone. And when we get away from that, when people don't see the fairness or the applicability of the same law to different people differently, that's when people lose trust in the judicial system. And I say it in my campaign all the time, judges are the last line of defense in this country. It really does make a difference who you vote for and why.
Absolutely. And as we see on the Supreme Court now, you know, we have some turmoil there. And I think it's really caused people to question things, especially when precedents are being overturned. And again, I'm trying not to take positions on this, not that my position would matter. But I think people have had certain ideas about what the laws are and what the Constitution says. And now we have to rethink them. And that kind of shakes our confidence in the foundation.
It does. Yeah. I mean, you go back and look into the 1890s. We were told under Plessy versus Ferguson that separate but equal was okay. That if you had a school for black children and a school for white children, that was okay. That was a United States Supreme Court decision. Then fast forward about 50 years to Brown versus Board of Education in the 1950s, when we are now told that, no, separate but equal is not right. So the Supreme Court does have to adapt, does have to figure out where we evolve is the exact. That's a better word. Yes.
Yeah. Linda Davenport, Justice Linda Davenport, good luck and to you. And you know, you have my support.
Thank you, counsel.
And thank you for coming in and spending your Sunday with me.